you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Tuesday, October 23rd, 2018. So far, so good.
I think so.
Yeah. I kind of have to look at the calendar. I think the other day I was thinking, is it the 29th? Or, you know, I'm just discombobulated still a little with the schedule, the post-trip experience, and then getting over jet lag, and then full throttle ahead with so many different things and the deadlines with the Prime Life Times. In fact, it's going to be delivered a week from tomorrow. It'll be Halloween. It'll be delivered. So
okay.
That'll be actually the most copies we've ever printed and most areas that we've ever served. And new locations being added, I can't say daily, but weekly.
Yeah.
And I think there's at least a few locations that are out of papers. It's been a banner month this October. It was a great addition, and we appreciate all the people that are enjoying it and helping us distribute it, and the content contributors that are providing the interesting and wonderful articles, and the awards that we're receiving. Now, if you tuned in yesterday, you heard us touch on three of the awards. These were handed out by NAMPA, which stands for the North American Mature Publishing Association.
Do you feel mature?
yeah, very mature.
Are you a mature publisher,
no,
Mark?
It should be NIMPA, the Immature Publishing Association. That's my
I'm going to start saying
that. That's right. And this independent college, the prestigious College of Journalism at the University of Missouri, has awarded us these five awards, so a first, two seconds, and two thirds, and we highlighted three of them yesterday.
Sounds like a recipe.
Yeah. Add
two
a little
thirds,
of this.
Two seconds.
A little of this. But we're excited. It's the first time we submitted entries. In fact, we've only had the paper one year.
When would we have?
The only time we could have. And so we submitted some articles and some stories and a couple of the papers because they had to evaluate them from a prior year. Can't wait till next year because the cutoff was like June. Mm-hmm. And so we really felt we had some good ones like July, August, September.
Yeah.
So we'll see how next year turns out. But we're celebrating that so many of you are picking up the Prime Life Times. You're enjoying it. You appreciate the content. And then just the efforts, you, Marianne, and the copy team. We have copy editor. We have proofreaders. Ruth Esri and Karen Harrison. Mm-hmm. And then our copy editor is the marvelous Rob Seidenberg.
And he's
so
great.
Yeah. He puts a lot of time and energy and effort. And
that man is so smart.
As only the Lord could fit him into our team. He recently retired. He trained editors on how to edit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so he's like cream of the crop. Mm-hmm. In fact, Karen Harrison's son, Jonathan, who is a superb editor.
Yeah, Rob Pitt says he is.
Yeah, and Rob helped train him. And
he did.
Rob actually said he didn't need a whole lot of training. He was gifted to begin with, but Rob was like a perfect fit. He's volunteering and helping and spending many hours. And then he includes some of his own articles,
mm-hmm.
The wordsmith master that he is, and some other things like the rural memories.
Rural memories,
and some other stories that
shares. One thing I appreciate about Rob is he is very good at editing, but he's not above. He just always says, if you see something I did, point it out, you know, because, and he said he used to tell his editor students that, because everybody can miss something.
Yeah.
And that's why I just really appreciate that. He'll write Karen or he'll write Ruth, say, good catch, you know.
Yeah. So
there's not that many of them, but
yeah. And it's been interesting because we've had outsiders, people that have picked up our paper, and there's that George Ellsworth from Indiana who writes his own newsletter, I think, for his church, church publication or something, or his church. And, you know, very skilled. Mm-hmm. And he said, I've been reading this paper and there are like no mistakes or errors. And he said it's wonderfully put together. And others have critiqued it and said, really, it's I won't say flawless, but they said it's so well put together. And so we do have a really good editorial team. And editing team, editorial team. I don't know if we have an editorial team. Well,
that's fine.
Look at things.
Editorial team.
So this independent...
Extraterrestrial, ET. Yeah, go ahead. Anyway.
So this independent College of Journalism from the University of Missouri had a number of submissions of papers throughout the country, and these are papers reaching, I could think they call it the boomer and senior market or something.
Yeah.
It's the boomers
and
seniors.
I don't like any of those words, but yeah.
But the senior market, those 50 and older, there's many of them in all the various states. And so we submitted some articles, and five of them were awarded, first, second, or third. And as mentioned yesterday, I won't belabor everything that I said, but there was a certain threshold that you had to meet. So there were some categories that nobody even got an award because nobody met the, I guess you would say, the
high standard they have.
Yeah, high standard or the minimum threshold to even receive a third place.
True.
And then I think there was one or two categories where somebody only got third, but they didn't award the first or second. So.
And we learned that the school of journalism is very well known and so forth. You and I, neither one knew that.
We have been
playing catch up since the minute we got this paper, Mark.
That's right.
Now we know where the school of journalism is.
The prestigious College of Journalism at the University of Missouri. Well, they awarded us five awards, and so if you notice the posting, whether it was my own personal page or the Great News Radio page or the Prime Life Times page, I posted the five certificates that we received. And so yesterday we highlighted the first three.
Right.
And so we have two more before we'll begin reading a chapter out of Memories of an African Son. And when I say we, Marianne reads, and I just do a little commentary along the way. But what were the other two awards that we received?
Yeah. In the briefs category, those are like small articles or just things that are ongoing, kind of. They mentioned Money Matters in May 2018, Lifestyles April 2018. While the topics vary, both sections offer solid information for readers. One offers a step-by-step guide about how to prepare to probate an estate, essential tips for most everyone.
Oh, yeah, probating an estate. I do that often. So.
Do you?
Yeah. No, I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Where is your estate, Mark?
Yeah. What is my state of mind right now? Yeah, okay.
You know, that was written by a lawyer here in town. I cannot pronounce his last name. Is it? It's J-Z-N... A-N-E-C-K-I, Ohio Roaster, And it was a very good article. A number of people commented about it. The others offer tips for protecting birds in your yard and garden, essential to enjoying feathered friends. Additionally, both sections offer Wordsmith's Workshop by Rob Seidenberg.
Woohoo! Our very own.
Oh, those are so interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they are. It's an opportunity to broaden vocabulary and understand the history of words, a boost to cognitive thinking.
Cognitive thinking.
We need to go
Let's
get some of them reading today.
That today.
Yeah.
Actually, cognitive thinking, that was what Dr. Bill Gingold, William Gingold, was all about when he started this Prime Life Times paper, because he wanted to keep seniors active and involved and building that cognitive thinking. He had a lot of games and exercises and those brain wellness fitness fairs. It was all about, he used that a lot, cognitive thinking. We got to keep seniors active and involved in reading and using their brains.
His store's out at the mall now, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. And then the last category.
So you're just going to call it briefs, huh? Even though the official category.
Go for it. Go for it. Don't mind me.
The official category. Now listen closely. See if you catch it.
Oh, yeah. Let's build up this.
Yeah, that's right. Let's make sure nobody misses out.
They won't.
The official category was called briefs and shorts.
Ha-ha. Something you hang on the clothesline.
Yeah.
In the old days.
Briefs and shorts. Yeah, that's right. So.
Yeah, short is a term they use in
for the short little essays or little groupies.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, thank you, Mark, for pointing all that out for everybody.
Yes.
Okay.
And we got third place for our briefs and shorts.
Yeah. I just called it briefs, but anyway.
Okay.
All right.
Then finally.
Feature writing.
That's
a big deal, too. Mm-hmm. So third place. We got third place, and Doug Peterson is the reason we got it. And the other ones were great as well, but his is the one that took the third place. A Desolation for Wandering Cattle and Pigs. Prime Lifetimes, Illinois. History comes alive in a witty piece about the first building on the University of Illinois campus, a dormitory on the prairie, built in 1868 called The Elephant.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating information. It costs just $4 each semester to live there, Plus, the vantage point of 150 years gives the story its charm. He did do a great job.
Well, Doug Peterson, I think I was telling you this the other day, he's writing a script with Joe Thomas, mm-hmm. who's part of Judah Christian, their fundraising team. He also is a seminarian, or he works mm-hmm. at the Urbana Seminary.
Oh, the Theological Seminary?
Yes. And I mentioned Doug Peterson, that he was an author. He goes, Doug Peterson, I just met with him. We've been meeting for weeks.
Oh,
we're writing
up
this script. And I was telling you, it was like on Benjamin Franklin and I think William Wilberforce or two people from that time. Mm-hmm. And they're having a conversation, and they were friends back then, like this deist and this well-known Christian.
Uh-huh.
And so, I don't know, they're working on some play or some storyline. And yeah, Doug's written a number of books. In fact, Joe was telling me the story that they went on some vacation recently, or this summer or whenever.
Yeah.
And he said their tendency for the family is they read a book together and then they can discuss it or talk about it or something. And he said he had these books by Doug Peterson. And so he shared with his daughters, and they're like, oh, Dad, you know, when Dad picks the book out, it's not going to maybe be what they want.
Right.
Anyways, they looked at it and they said, Doug Peterson, we studied his book or his books at Judah Christian School. Oh, he's a great writer.
Oh,
and
my
so
goodness.
They were excited to read this book together as a family on their vacation. Doug did Veggie Tales.
He did.
And has been involved in a number of other things.
Yeah.
So we appreciate having him as one of our content contributors.
We
Thank you, God, for Doug and all the others, that, from Nancy Brain to Rita Blockman.
Yeah. Oh, she's great. And then Betty Schmid, our Be Inspired Recipes. I'm going to have lunch with Betty. I can't wait.
Oh, and just all of them, some out of state, some in the area.
Oh,
we
yeah.
just appreciate all the team that makes this Prime Life Times award-winning, five-time award-winning. So, all right. Well, yeah, we're excited. If you haven't picked up your copy, the October edition of the Prime Life Times.
Do it quickly.
Do it quickly, because by from tomorrow, next Wednesday, we'll have the November edition out. And that'll be our historic one-year anniversary. I know you're doing some proofing now. Yeah. Are we going to have something that says this is our one-year anniversary?
Oh, Mark, we should have.
Yeah, something to say.
No, we didn't.
Congratulations.
We're so busy trying to get it pulled together, we didn't put that on there.
All right, we'll keep looking at that. We want to celebrate what God has done this past year. And
again, we're deciding things over the year, that's fine. It's a great idea.
So now you know how to pray for us, everyone.
Pray.
All right. Well, exciting times.
It is.
And this is an exciting book, Memories of an African Son, by Mary Ann Simpkins. And last week we talked about crocodiles. Today, the theme is water.
Donna Barnes wrote me and told me she's glad I didn't get eaten by the crocodile.
She's
glad I survived to do what I'm doing. I said, thank you.
Yeah, you probably had
she's
it on pins and needles.
Yeah.
Like, what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
So water is so important around the world.
Yes, it is.
Certainly important in countries that have deserts or don't have the access like we have, the running water and such.
All right. Chapter 20, Water. Africa is a place of beautiful waters, of powerful rivers, the bending Niger, the long Nile, the glittering Zambezi, the vastly deep Congo River, and the alternately placid and raging Orange River. It is a place of magnificent waterfalls, the Blue Nile Falls, the Kabulume Falls, the Nyonge Falls, and of course, Victoria Falls. The continent of Africa is a place of gorgeous lakes, such as Lake Nakuru, Lake Kariba, Lake Tanganyika, Lake Victoria, Lake Tana, and Lake Kivu. And Africa is a place of barren lands and drought, of deeply encroaching desert. In huge swaths of land, people walk for miles on end just to carry enough water for one day. A place where people are dying from lack of clean water. A significant part of the time that we were in Zimbabwe was during a season of difficult drought, and water became quite scarce. The two boreholes on our mission station were going dry and had to be shut down, except for a couple of hours a day, so that the pump would not burn itself out trying to pump when there was no water. Boreholes were dug by boring straight into the ground with a large drill-like piece of equipment, then inserting a long rod or pipe that reached the underground water and aquifers. Nearly all of the water that the pumps on the borehole did bring up during the drought went immediately to the hospital. I would sit on the back of our truck, on top of barrels and containers, ready to ride with our driver down to the borehole and fill the containers up with water to deliver to the rest of the mission. Later on, churches in America sent money to build a reservoir for the mission so that there would be a backup plan for water during drought, and the principal of the secondary school took on the oversight of that huge project. I learned early the meaning and the value of water. Mm-hmm. It was not a given in my life. There were days when I had 1 inch of water to try to take a bath in, and that is fortunate compared to what others, both then and now, suffer from regarding lack of water. I love water. I love fountains, waterfalls, rushing rivers, oceans, beautiful blue lakes, hot springs, and even little bird baths in the yard. Standing under a waterfall, putting my hands under a fountain, or dangling my bare feet in a mountain stream is great joy. Water is the stuff of life. When we send out long-range space capsules to collect specimens or to take pictures of faraway planets and stars, whatever else we may be looking for, we are always searching for one significant thing, possible clues to even the most microscopic presence of water, the basic need for life as we understand it. Our bodies are comprised mostly of water. Our blue planet has a high percentage of its surface covered in water, much of it salt water. Beyond all doubt, water is one of the core resources of our Earth. Without it, we do not survive. Whatever the reasons, there seems to be little doubt that climates around the world are somehow changing in our time. Whether these changes are from man-made problems or just the Earth's normal cycles, time is growing shorter in terms of finding ways to deal with them. People who once had plenty of water are going to need to be taught how to cope with drought. Some people think that in days to come, water will be traded on international stock exchanges. It will be worth more than some gems, and it will be hoarded and sold. I hope these are only alarmists and that they are wrong. I do know that the Sahara is moving south at a somewhat startling rate, sweeping more and more land into its abyss, and that the people, where I live, are becoming more and more concerned about the chemicals and pollutants finding their way into what were once pristine water supplies. Mm. To grasp what is happening to our world water supply is a somber and thought-provoking experience. The statistics on children's deaths worldwide from drinking unsafe water are staggering. I have lived in places where every drop of water for human consumption had to be boiled. Always. Where many bodies of water contained dangerous parasites. It is not a simple matter to find clean water when surrounded with these conditions. There may still be time for us to change our ways, to help those who need help, and to help ourselves. The world at large does have the resources and technology to address this situation, at least in some ways. We must ask two questions. First, how do we live with ourselves, knowing that there are millions of little children around the world today, many of them in Africa, struggling mightily for a simple drink of water, and even millions more struggling for a drink of clean water. I have often wondered how I am going to discuss this subject, my own efforts or lack thereof, with my God, when I stand before Him face to face. What words will I use? And the second question, if we allow the pollution of our local water supplies to continue wherever we live, where will all of us end up? Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." Matthew 19:14. How will we bring the little children to Jesus if we haven't managed to get them enough water to even stay alive? Jesus said that whether we respond to the hunger of those who are hungry and the thirst of those who are thirsty will determine how He views us. In fact, He says it is how he will judge us. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. Then they will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty? He'll reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Matthew 25:42-45. Many people have high-minded ideas of what God will ask us about on Judgment Day. They seem to think he'll ask us theological or even political questions. Personally, I'm concerned that he's going to ask us about the water, since he said he would, because I'm honestly not sure how I will respond. How will you answer that question? Father, I pray that I'll be a conduit to the children of this world for both the living water of Jesus and the earth water of your creation that keeps us physically alive. Please show me where best to put my efforts, money, and time in this regard. Bring to light those people who are getting the job done and empower me to support them. I thank you so much for their efforts. Please, please help these thirsting children. Help me to not stop crying until the job is done.
Oh, gosh, what a great subject to start talk about and wrestle with.
Yeah.
But SR News won't wait, and we
okay.
Gotta go. Oh, well, everyone, get your copy of Memories of an African Son. You can pick it up on Amazon, online, or here at the Great News Radio Center. Appreciate you, Marianne. Something to really think about, how we use water, how we waste water, how we need to be mindful of those that don't have the luxury of the water we take for granted. All right, everyone. Food for thought. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
We are one.